Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 66.
It's a good thing you didn't add another six there. We would have a problem. In this episode's bits, we will talk about Tutankhamun, Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion, the Deadlies, and Marco Polo 2. The Servants of God.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's going to be a long one.
Oh.
We will discuss the BGG thread, quirky gamer types, and get up to all of our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits.
Oh, and
don't forget, we have to plug our coupon code, ATB-TAKE5OFF100, which will take $5 off if your order is over $100 at Board Game Bliss. One use per customers, because we're sponsored, y'all.
Woo! We're so fancy.
So fancy.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Welcome back. Summer's over.
I know. Yeah.
What's new? What's exciting, Michelle? We are back.
Yes. Yes. Sorry to all of our listeners. It's been, summer and COVID. I just blame everything on COVID these days.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's great. Great scapegoat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And COVID sucks.
Yep. And Essen is around the corner, so there's some good game releases being announced. 'Tis the season, so that's exciting.
It's the season for all the boring Euros.
Yes, the best time of the year.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be patient.
Is it? Yeah. Especially if you live in Canada and you hear about the game and coming out of the Essen, but it actually won't be here for like a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the $600 Stefan Feld Kickstarters.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times did you back that?
Five times.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One for each finger on my left hand. Because why not?
I'm still the proud owner of two kidneys. Therefore, that will let you know I did not back it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, 'tis a lot of money. Holy macro.
Yeah, $600 for four games.
And there are no minis. That's the problem.
That's correct. Yes.
You see, $600 for like four games, if they were like CMON games or, you know, Awakened Realms or any of those companies, would actually be a really good deal. But,
yeah.
You know, no minis.
No, some acrylic standees and game trays on games that we know nothing about yet. Well, we won't first when we do, but
yeah.
Anyways,
are just two of them the reprints, or are there other ones? Or
I haven't been following very, very closely. I believe there will be new ones in the series. I don't know 3 and 4. I don't know. I think one of them for sure is new, because one of them uses a cube tower.
Ooh.
And it's not Amerigo.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can't remember if the fourth one is new as well. But it looks like they did make a lot of changes to like the reprint of Bruges and Macau. So I am excited about them. They sound different enough to warrant such excitement. So there.
Well.
But I did not pay $600 for numbers on a box. not that there's anything wrong with that, but I did not.
I'm proud of you, actually.
Yeah, well, I did back it. I just backed out. So, I mean, there was a moment in time where I thought it was a good idea.
That's
so
fair.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of a good idea, let's move on to our next bit.
Ooh.
I always get these two confused. Yeah.
Or ask me anything bit, wherein we ask each other useless questions about this beautiful hobby.
Because we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I have a little game for you. I think I've done this one with you before.
That's okay. I'm going to do the exact same thing I've done 10 million times with you tonight.
Wonderful.
Go ahead.
So what I want you to do is just rename some games, but rename them with very literal titles. So, for example, Caverna would be kill sheep to feed your family.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Gloomhaven.
Crawl around a dungeon and get killed.
Terraforming Mars.
Establish new life on a red planet.
Anomia.
Smack your hand into a table while screaming at someone.
Well, that's like my everyday. Marvel Champions.
The greatest game ever. Marvel Champions. Hey. Smash some baddies.
Smash the baddies.
Smash the baddies.
Cool. There you go.
That's good. I love games like that. I can't even remember the name of what podcast that is. It's an NPR podcast where they kind of ask each other trivia and give each other like literal titles for news stories that happen. I can't remember which one it is.
But that's cute.
I quite enjoy that sort of thing. So please keep it up.
Okay. There's also like the Will Short, the New York Times crossword guy.
Yes.
He does that. I mean, I'm sure other crosswords do.
He's frequently been on said podcast, which name I cannot remember.
There you go. Look at us making connections.
Will Short and Mo Rocca.
Cool.
Mo Rocca. All right.
All right, what you got for me, boy?
We're going to do the randomizer again, the board game. Your favorite, the random game. Oh, my God. All right, here we go. Okay. So you're going to say whether you want to play it, burn it, buy it, play it, or burn it. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Happy Face game.
Happy Face. Happy Ooh. Face
game. It's a Milton Bradley game from 1968.
Ooh.
The game consists of a curving track on each space being marked with a face. Happy, smile, funny, surprise, or hide. That's not a face. In your turn, you draw a card and must move your playing piece to the next space on the track showing that face. And I guess you just go round and round till you get to the end.
That sounds exceptionally terrible.
Awful, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna burn that. And that's gonna do the world a favor.
It will probably have a really bad smell, too, because it's really old and stanky.
Right. Yeah, it looks terrible. It looks like something I would have printed.
Yes. Oh, hey, here we go. You ready for that?
Yeah.
This game kind of looks really cool. I have no idea what it's about. Elemental Trunk Man came out in 2019. Elemental Trunk Man from Tokyo Game Makers. It's a Japanese game. You are an elemental trunk man, a time-traveling agent who unblocks treasure boxes collected over time and takes out treasures. With the help of the elemental spirits, we will unlock the seal of the treasure chest and aim to open more treasure chests than our rivals.
Well, based on the mechanisms, I would play it. So you've got some deck big and pool building, dice rolling, hand management, set collection, but it's got a really, really poor rating of 5.5. Can I just burn everything?
Burn it. Go ahead. Okay, we're going to do one. I'd like to find, although it's pretty bad, chances of the 100 million games on here and then finding a game that you would like are...
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm just going to do another one here. I can't pronounce that one. Oh, here we go. Word Rummy from... published in 1948, the year you were born. It's published by Educational Cards. It's a word game. It's a word game of the post-World War II era. There are two letters on each card of different colors in opposite corners. The 52 cards make up four complete alphabets. Red A to Z paired with blue A to Z. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. I would probably actually play this if somebody really wanted me to, because I actually don't mind Rummy, like Rummy Cube I like.
It's like Rummy, but with words.
And yeah, sure. I'll try it. I just, if this had been the first one, I probably would have burnt it, but I feel really guilty right now, so I guess I'll just have to play it.
Yeah, you're, No, we live out in Western Canada where there's very frequently forest fires and such, so you probably don't want to be burning too much.
No. So
that is our that's my Ask Me Anything, which is just going through the random thing.
Here's something. This has a rating of 9.0 on BGG. It's got one rating. So you know, yeah, with one rating, but still, I mean, that's got to be good, right?
And this person rated it in 2018. So weird. 80 years after the game came out, right? No, is that right? 80 years after the game came out.
That's weird. I want to know the story.
Right? I kind of want to message CSSmith623 and find out why.
He's Henry Turkle's lost son. There's got to be a good story behind that.
On that note. Do 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 do
do do do. Just great stuff. This is our Guess the Game bit, wherein we give each other vague, then specific, then super obvious clues from the Board Game Geek to guess a game, and we ask that you guess along.
And can I go first?
By meaning
asking, well, giving you clues?
Yeah.
All right. So this game came out in 1940.
Word Remy!
You got it.
Oh, man. Henry, such a good guy.
You know what's crazy? I'm basically my father. I just laugh at my own jokes. This is ridiculous. Oh. Okay, here we go. You ready? Yeah, I feel like you're going to get this before I even finish saying
what I'm gonna... Don't say stuff like that. You just jinxed me.
All right. This game
came... Now I feel pressure.
This game came out in 2009.
Catan. I don't know. I'm kidding.
It has a rating of 7.4 on BGG.
Fascinating.
It plays 2 to 4 players
mm-hmm.
in 50 to 100 minutes
mm-hmm.
and has a weight of 3.14.
Is this Seven Wonders? No, that's too heavy.
3.14.
Agricola?
No.
No. No, Agricola plays like 1 to 5. Okay.
I'll give you some mechanics. There's a lot of mechanics. I'll give you the category. Dice and nautical.
Navigador?
I don't know what you just said, but no, that's not
good. I feel like that was such a good guess. Like, come on, man. Why couldn't it have been Navigador?
Do you want some mechanisms?
Yeah, I do.
Action points? Card drafting, dice rolling, hand management, network and route building.
What?
Pick up and deliver.
What? Is that was that the one that you were like, you're gonna get this?
Set collection.
Oh my god. All the things.
I don't actually know if you've played this game, although I suspect you have.
I'm trying to think. 2009, hey?
2009.
It's not Jamaica, right? No.
You are definitely familiar with it. I'm not. I feel like you have played it. But.
Oh, man.
You have.
I'm drawing blanks. Oh, it's pretty heavy, though. You said 3.something, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably a euro.
Is most definitely a euro.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
Concordia.
It is not.
No.
Aaliyah and Ravensburger put it out.
Okay.
At various times. And it has very recently been re-implemented.
Oh, boy. I'm drawing complete blanks. It's recently been re-implemented.
Very recently.
Oh, come on.
We might have discussed it on this episode earlier.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? It was designed by your favorite board game designer.
Oh, it is a Feld.
It is a Feld.
Oh. Oh, it's Macau?
It is Macau.
It was... Oh, okay. Man, I was even thinking that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, well,
it's probably a fail. I was like, no, that's
Don only ever picks things from the news, so.
Sigh.
Have you played Macau?
Yes, I have.
You recently got Macau, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and I built the little Windrose holders out of, and I stained them out of wood.
How?
And they'll still work for the new version, so that's nice.
What do you think of Macau compared to your other belt?
It's okay. Honestly, I think if it wasn't a Feld, I probably wouldn't think much of it. Like, it's fine, but I don't know why it gets so much praise. I'm guessing it's just out of print hype. I'm curious to see, like, what Feld changes. I haven't paid as much attention to, I think it's Amsterdam that's the Macau remake.
Yeah.
I haven't paid too much attention to what the changes are, but I imagine they're good. So I am very excited to try the new version. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Nothing special, though, really.
Cool.
I was expecting a lot more when I first played it because everyone, you know, loves that game and everyone wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that good. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Bring it on.
I feel like these are like Feld confessions.
I should just put that one in front of like our February episode and just have that. And like,
it's just not that good. All right. This one came out. Oh, I have to sneeze. Hang on. Wait. No. 2018. Okay. Has a current rating. There I go. Excuse me. A current rating of 8.6. With 15,000 ratings. Wow, that's 8. Great.
8.6. Wow. Okay.
With 15,000 ratings, and it came out in 2018. Plays 2 to 4 in 60 to 120 minutes, and has a weight of 3.92.
Spirit Island?
No, good guess though.
That one has so many. Okay.
I'll give you some categories.
Oh no, I'm not. I moved my desk, and I can't just look over at my games now. Ah! Okay, go ahead.
I think you might actually have this one, too. I think.
Really? Okay.
I think so. All right. So category, economic, industry, manufacturing, and transportation.
Brass? No.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Brass Birmingham. I do really like Brass Birmingham.
I do, too.
I still haven't played Lancaster. My wife was just commenting how it's in the shrink.
Yeah, I've played both. I think I've played Birmingham more than I have.
Now, is Lancaster the one that's supposed to be like better for two players? I can't remember.
I don't know, actually. I haven't heard that one is better for two than the other. I haven't heard that, so yeah, I don't know. But I like them both. I know some people have a strong preference, but I like them both. I think I need to play them back to back a bunch of times, which will never happen. But we can pretend.
I feel like we've talked about this on the show, the time that we were playing Brass Birmingham and Rodney Smith was giving you pointers, not me.
Who learns Brass Birmingham at like 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was so tired.
But you should have won, though, because you had Rodney Smith telling you.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's how I would think it would work.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, instead of winning, I got a lot of, you can't do that. I was like, what? Why? I don't understand.
You're cheating.
All right. Well, it's that time where we pew!
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 Pew! Pew! Pew! Pew! Pew!
There you go. This is our pew-pew.
Wherein we explain games poorly and then tell you what we think of them after a player or more using our super-duper official scale of...
1. That would be a hard no.
No.
2.
Hard pass.
Meh. 3. I mean, it's fine. Which is Macau.
Yep.
4. Tis a gooder.
Wait.
And 5. It's got the spark.
Spark.
I really need to find a better spark sound.
No, that's
it's like
good.
I can hear it in my head, but then when I say it, it's not even close.
That's
it's just it's just not happening.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Shall I start?
You shall.
I shall start. All right. My first game here is, some of you will remember, was actually my most anticipated game of what year? Gosh, that was so long ago, Michelle, that we did like our most anticipated games of 2020.
That feels like. Did we do that?
Oh my gosh. We did. And this was my most anticipated game of 2020. And that
was it now?
It was. That is The Deadlies. Which it came out in 2020, and it was designed by Paul Saxberg with art by Leah Furham and published by Smirk and Dagger Games. And The Deadlies is a card game in which you are trying to deplete your hand as fast as possible, basically. That's kind of what it is, what you're doing in it. And it's based on the seven deadly-ish sins with a very comedic touch. It's not like, you know, these are the seven deadly sins and horrible things are happening. The art is fun and whimsical, and it's a very whimsical game. But each of the, it's a game where what you're trying to do when you are playing on your turn, you're going to start with six. Everyone starts with six cards, and you're trying to get rid of your hand three times in the games, and the first person to do that wins. And you, when you play cards, you are either playing suits, which are basically going to be the different deadlies, quote unquote, different colors, you can say. So you can play as many brown cards as you want, or you can do runs. So you can do like 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the other thing you can do is number value. So you might have 3 4s of different colors, and you can play those. And whatever card is on the top, it's going to do something. And the cards all do different kinds of things. Like one is the greed card, which is one of my favorite cards. And what that does is, I think it's, I want to say it's yellow. And what you're doing is you're flipping over a card from the deck for each person, but as soon as you have two cards that are the same suit, you have to take all those cards. So at some point it's like a like a push your luck type thing, because you might, oh, am I going to keep trying to make them draw cards, or do I stop after two or three cards to make sure they take those all to their hands? So the cards all kind of do things like that, have different powers like that, which really brings out a lot of fun for this game. I'm sure preface this by saying, before I start talking about that, I have probably, Paul Saxberg is local to us in Calgary, and I've probably played this game before I played the actual Deadlies probably like at least 50 times over the years. So I've had an opportunity to play it many, many times, and I don't know this. I'll be straight up to this game in terms of the amount of laughs per minute that I played a game is right up there with like Time's Up. I mentioned like Time's Up is probably the game that I get the most laughs out of. This game is like that too, to the point that I will say this was my first choice of a game, Michelle, to play with other human beings who aren't legally living, who aren't being forced legally to live with me, i.e. my wife. we visited my brother-in-law over the summer for a few weeks, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and this was the first game we brought out, and because I was desperate to play, you can't play, it doesn't play two players, and it was the first time we'd actually seen other humans and been able to play a game with them. And it was so much fun, it was so good to play, and they kept asking to play it over and over, and we played it a whole bunch when we were with them, to the point that it was probably like eventually like the only game we actually played, because we'd play it 2-3 times in the night and they wanted to keep playing. And again, it's got like a lot of those moments because you're close, like once you get rid of all your cards, I know I'm jumping all over with this, but it's been a long time. Once you get rid of all your cards and you draw, so that first time you draw six, everyone starts with six, but once you get rid of your hand, then you draw four cards. And then once you get rid of those four cards, you only draw two, and then you try and get rid of everything. And there are lots of you know, those powers are really neat. So it's just a fun party. There's not much strategy, if any strategy, to this game, but it's so much fun, and it brings me so much joy. I will say what really bothers me about the game is that the card material is really, really bad for them. So that's a big knock. I had a number of cards in the deck which were visibly creased, And I've seen, I know a couple of other people who had the same thing. There were kind of issues with the card stock, which is really annoying for a game that, like, okay, if this card is clearly marked, you kind of know what it is, the next card.
So and it's also, the cards are handled a lot because the game's pretty quick. So you're shuffling, you're moving,
So that's kind of, you know, that really frustrates me because this is a super fun game. Like I said, I love it. And if not for that issue, it would definitely have the spark. But I'm going to say it is a gooder. And the thing that's knocking it off for me is kind of is the card quality. But if you are looking for a game that really you're not thinking a ton, it is very take that. It's a complete take that game, right? You're constantly messing with the person and trying to keep, you know, there's a run of quote unquote runaway leader is that as soon as someone's like getting close to being completely out, everyone's going to pick on them. And that's part of the joy in this game, right? It's not done in the way that, oh, I'm investing 2 hours in this. It's like it's over in 20 minutes. So it's that's not a problem, but it's definitely tis a gooder, and I'm glad I got to play it. I was very excited. I was super happy that Paul was able to get it published, and it's a lot of fun. So if you're looking for like a really light, fun, humorous game to just goof around with, finish a night off, start a night, or just play with non-gamers, it's a good choice. It's a really good choice, and I don't think people need to be scared. I know there's been some talk online that like because it's kind of like with the Deadly Sins. It's not, though. It's very, like, it's super cartoony.
Yeah. Tongue-in-cheek kind of just very has super fun with it.
That's
yeah.
Good. That's a good. Yeah. Very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I played this before it was published as well, and I had fun with it, and I did order a copy, but it came, like, right when COVID hit, so I haven't had a chance to pull it out yet.
So it's like, oh, they're humans. I can finally play it.
Come to me, my people. Yes. Play cards with me.
Yes.
I understand. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, my first pew is Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion, which I know has been out in the US for a while, but it took a while to get to Canada, a little bit longer. So this came out in 2020, has a current rating of 9.2 with 1,800 ratings on BGG. No surprise there. It plays 1 to 4 players in 30 to 120 minutes. It has a weight of 3.52 and is designed by Isaac Childress. There's a lot of artists on this one. Francesca Berald, Kat Bach, David Demarat, Alexander Elichev, Jason D. Kingsley, and Josh T. McDowell. And this is published by Cephalofair Games. This is a dungeon crawler. I feel silly almost describing it because I feel like everyone knows what this is. But yeah. It is a dungeon crawler using strategic card play. And this particular Jaws of the Lion is considered a 25-game introduction to Gloomhaven, which is the infamous 21-pound box of like 80 some scenarios or maybe even more. I don't know. Lots of things. So the way they've kind of set this up, so talking about this 25 game introduction is basically you don't really read rules. You just open the book and it gives you some information kind of as you need it. And then every scenario that you play, it gives you a little bit more and a little bit more until I believe the fifth scenario where you're playing full on with all the rules. Yeah. I haven't gotten to the fifth scenario. I've hit the fourth. So I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's the idea.
I think that's what I heard.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Instead of map tiles, which is what Gloomhaven uses, this gang uses a flip book or book with, what's that? Like spiral binding.
Yep.
As the map, which I really like. Near and Far was maybe the first one to do it, but there's been a lot of games. And I just think it's such a brilliant way to do it.
Yeah,
anyways, that's how they present the map. And of course, because it's in a book, there's also additional information on the page that gives you reminders on rules and things like that. As you would in a typical dungeon game, crawler game, you're going into the dungeon. You choose a character to play with, and there's, you know, the pretty common tropes of characters, and you're going in and you're fighting dudes and getting through the map. I'm sure maybe later there's more different goals, but right now it's pretty much just like kill everybody. And the way you do that, it is cooperative, but there's limited information. So you're not supposed to, you can talk overall strategy, but you can't necessarily discuss what's in your hand and what you specifically plan to do. But what you do is you pick two cards on your turn from your hand, and you have basically, you have your whole deck in your hand. And each card has two actions, one on the top, one on the bottom. So of the two cards that you play, you get to pick a top action from one of them and a bottom action for another. And you also get there's numbers on them, and that determines your initiative order. So you choose one of the cards to be for your initiative, and that's simultaneously revealed. And you also reveal initiative for the monsters. So there's a little bit of a surprise in terms of who goes when. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it a little bit more interesting because you have to react. And you have life. And there's, you know, the special effects like poison and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty typical. It's just a lot less luck based because mm-hmm. You have your hand of cards. Or your whole deck really in your hand, and you can really be a little bit more strategic. And once you've played like a few scenarios, you get to know your partner's deck as well. Between scenarios, you get to upgrade your deck and get new cards, that sort of thing. And the monsters do. I'm trying to think if there's any, what else is unique. I'm sure there's other things, but anyways, there's the gist. Oh, let's see. What are my thoughts? So bits. They have a token tray, which I love when games do. So, mm-hmm. And I've never seen this in a game, but this game is so geared towards like somebody who's never played a game that they actually have a instruction sheet on how to organize all the bits. So they're like, mm-hmm. punch these out and then put them into baggies and punch these out, which I thought was crazy. They also have card dividers, which is awesome. So you can organize the cards that you get. Mm-hmm. I just really super appreciate. There's minis, which are nice, but I'm not picky with minis. So I have no idea in comparison to other minis, if they're good or not. But they're minis, and that's good. And the art is incredible. Mm-hmm. I love the art. Like, you're sucked right into it. There's also, speaking of kind of art and being sucked into the theme, there is a audio narration that you can buy as a, actually someone gifted it to me, so I don't know where you can get it, but there's, they basically read the story to you, and there's sound effects, and I highly, highly recommend it. I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. But it's really nice. And I have heard a lot of people highly also recommend the companion app, which manages all of your monsters. It's streamlined, but in the same sense, it's not. Like, there's still a lot of like little rules that you have to consider. When it's the monster's turn, what do you do with them? And apparently this companion app is amazing for doing all of that stuff for you. So that's good. I did like how they introduced the mechanisms slowly, but I was also kind of annoyed at having to read new rules all the time. Not all the time, but like the scenarios are pretty quick. You know, there's something about just like getting it, ripping the Band-Aid off and just like learning it and then diving in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like really good for people who don't play a lot of games, but I found it slightly annoying, but whatever. Not a big deal. I thought I played Gloomhaven twice, I think. Played it. Yeah. So it's a big box. Like, it's a 21-pound box. There's a ton of stuff. And this is much more condensed. It's a way quicker setup time. Even compared to other dungeon crawlers that I've played, and I haven't played a ton, but like Eldritch, Arkham, I've played, now I'm not going to be able to, Shadows of Brimstone. A few others, I did like the Dungeon and Dragon ones and whatnot. And this compared to all of those is way quicker, which is great. And the scenarios are condensed as well. Like, I didn't find that they lasted as long as some other ones, which is one of my issues with dungeon crawlers in the first place. So that's pretty cool. The game itself is great. Like, I really enjoyed Gloomhaven when we played it. and I really enjoyed it. This time, I like that there can't be a super powerful alpha gamer. I like that there's always a little bit, and you know, no matter how much you plan, which is nice that you can, there's always still a little bit of mystery and a little bit of surprise between the modifiers and the cards, card play and whatnot. So I think it's a really nice balance there for somebody who's more of a Euro gamer. Yeah, so I think it's really quite good. I'm very happy with it. I wasn't going to purchase it, but I did because Rich, like, those are his favorite types of games, are dungeon crawlers. So I thought it would be a fun activity for us to do, and it is. So I think if you don't like dungeon crawlers, this is not going to change your mind. If you have to play a dungeon crawler and you hate them, this is probably your best choice. Yeah, it feels streamlined. It feels condensed down into a nice package. And I give it a 4. Tis a gooder.
Tis a gooder.
I would probably give it a 5 if it was a Euro. No, I'm kidding.
Of course you would.
Yeah. But no, it's good. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. And I'm excited. Like, I'm always excited to play it. So that's good.
Nice.
Yeah,
I have this game as well, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet, and I don't know if I could convince my wife to actually play this. I think you had a good point in there. I don't know if this was released for you and I. You know, it's trying to get non-gamers into. I think it was a Target exclusive in the U.S. was trying to get them into non-gamers into Gloomhaven, and I think it's like, you know, a gateway drug trying to get them into this, and then let's go buy this huge giant box that's 21 pounds.
Yeah, well, and honestly, I think like after the first five games, like once you're in and you've kind of got it all down, I think it's going to feel very much or very similar. I think it's just those first five games, if you're not like, if you're familiar with Gloomhaven or you're a bit more of a gamer, they might feel a little bit like a slog. Yeah,
that's fair. Cool.
Yeah. Gloomhaven, Jaws of a Lion, I gave a 4. I think you'd really like it.
And I think they're probably going to make a fortune, because I'm assuming they're going to, I think the book, the Spiral Bound book, has been such a big hit. And they're going to, Cecil Fair is probably going to release that for regular Gloomhaven and make a fortune on it. And I think that will do, that will draw a lot more, because people like me, like, that was a big problem when we played Gloomhaven, was the setup. We didn't have to do it because someone else did it for us. But that's what's kept me, honestly, like, away from Gloomhaven, because the whole setup and teardown of it, I don't have the space to be able to leave it set up. So, yeah. So I think it's going to be nice, because the book thing is going to be huge for regular Gloomhaven eventually.
All right, well, my my last one of episode 66 is Marco Polo 2 in the Service of the Khan. Polo, you're supposed to say two. Thank you. This is two. There you go. It's the second version of Marco Polo. Very, very similar. This came out in 2019, but the English version just hit North America, at least Canada. I'm pretty sure all of North America. I did play the German version in January. But just finally, after too long waiting, got my copy. Anyway, so 2019, apparently 8.3 on BGG with 1,500 ratings. It plays 2 to 4 players in 60 to 120 minutes and has a weight of 3.33. This is so midway Euro, like the definition of midway Euro. It's designed by Simone Luciani and Danielle Tessini, art by Dennis Lohausen, and published by Hans im Gluck. And like I said, this is very, very much a medium weight Euro. It is primarily a dice worker placement game where there are a number of worker spots to get resources that enable you to travel across a map and get contracts to complete contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The players have fairly strong asymmetrical powers. I feel like that was one of the biggest selling points of the first one, was it felt fresh when it first came out. And so that's still very much a part of this one.
Mm-hmm.
The unique thing about this, there's probably other things, but normally in a worker placement game, when someone takes a spot, that's it. And there are some spots in this game and the first one where, you know, it's limited. However, a lot of them are not so. So you can actually go where other people have gone. However, you have to pay the your lowest die that you put. So if you put two die, a five and a six, you have to pay $5. And money is, of course, very important. And so it is expensive to do so. And the other thing, too, is the value of the die that you place will often determine the power of the action that you take. So if you go with a one, you might get one resource. If you go with a six, you might get seven, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. You've got these worker spots to get stuff. You've got this map you're traveling around, which unlocks more powerful spots as well as unlocks the ability to get contracts, which is new in this version. In the first one, you could just grab contracts as one of the spots. Now you actually have to travel around and put your house down in places on the map in order to get contracts. And contracts simply require resources, and then give you things in return: points, money, resources, contracts, etc. I'm trying to think. So some of the other differences, let's see here. Contracts are now on cities. Travel costs are on the paths, versus there used to be like you had to pay when you went to the actual worker spot. So now the travel costs, are on the spaces, and they change depending on where you're going. Mm-hmm. There used to be that table for resources where it was like, you had to put, you know, so many dice, and then depending on which the value of your lowest die, it was like a grid table. That's how many resources you get. That's gone, and it's been replaced with kind of more streamlined, what you would assume would be more typical type of worker spots, where you just put down a die and you get stuff. However, there are, under each of kind of the resource collection spots, there are spots for cards, cardboard chits, which change up the worker spots every round, which is really nice. And there's actually cards that also change every round that are additional worker spots, which is very, very nice. It just, livens it up a little bit. And there's also this whole new thing around set collection. So there's these seals that you can get that allow you to, if you have a seal, they allow you to travel around the map more efficiently in some cases. And if you complete, there's also on the seal, they're like a contract where you can choose to pay them off, and then you get something every round. So there's that aspect of it. And at the end of the game, there's actually quite a significant amount of points that can be obtained by having different sets of these seals. And there's still the objective cards at the beginning of the game, but they also, some of the objective cards also integrate the seals, obviously. So that's new and that's cool. It's nice. It's like gives the game a little bit more to go for, some more decisions. And then it also introduces jade as a resource, which is fun. So I liked the first one, but I didn't love it. I don't know why, but something about the decision space felt really boring, almost bland to me. Like, I know a lot of people have talked about the first one being a lot tighter, and this one being, the second one being just a lot more open, which I agree. You can do a lot more kind of the combos and, well, if I do this, then I can do this, and I can do this, versus feeling like kind of tightened in. But like Cooper Island is really restrictive, and I enjoy that feeling. The first one, I guess, was restrictive, but I found it, instead of finding it exciting, I found it kind of bland. So for me, I really prefer the second one, just because it does feel more open and you can kind of be a little bit more creative with your approach. The decision space is just more exciting for me. I find that the board actually does look busier, but the way it's laid out and the way the spaces work feels a little bit more in line with how a lot of other Euros work. So just in terms of like your brain and cognitive dissonance, you have less cognitive dissonance with this one because it just kind of makes sense if you've played other Euros. It's not like not a big deal, but it's just like, you know, this is kind of your tweaking, right? So to me, that was like a tweak that I noticed moving from the first to the second. I did feel like it could maybe go a little long. Like it felt like there was a bit more, I'm guessing because you can be a bit more creative and that there's more you can do. Obviously, there's more things to think about. Therefore, it can go a little long. Feels a little long. But I really, really, really like this one. This, to me, is the game that I always wanted the first one to be. So I adore it. I love it. I think if you own both, I think you... Well, okay. I don't know which one you should get, but I think you should try both, and then you can pick one or keep both. I don't know. But I feel like they cater to the same audience, but they're kind of different enough that you'll probably really prefer one over the other, I think. Okay. Yeah, I'm giving this a 5. It's got the spark. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's fun.
Crazy.
I know. Woo!
Sparked it up.
So fun to give sparks. So there you go. That's Marco Polo 2. 5.
Marco.
Woo, Polo.
2.
5.
Nailed it.
Ding-a-ling. Oh, there's my sparkle sound again.
Ding-a-ling.
Stop. Why don't I stop?
Stop.
Oy.
Speaking of... No.
No. No. Speaking of sparkle...
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even... I don't even remember.
That's our sparkling spotlight.
Which signifies our BGG thread spotlight, where we're going to use other people's comments on the BGG thread to make content for our show, because we are wholly unoriginal and lame.
Nailed it. All right, so this is the thread is quirky gamer types, and this we actually made these show notes a while ago, and we haven't been able to record
this. I have read through this like multiple times, and there were like 3 new pages since last time I read for it.
Yeah,
this is like my favorite, probably my, and we'll link it in the show notes. But this is probably my favorite posting that we've done, or one of them.
It's pretty great.
So amused by it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's pretty great. So yeah, so I do know it became quite a popular thread. It was featured in the BGG newsletter. So we're going to highlight a few of the comments. But again, this is a few weeks old, so I'm going to guess that there are even better and funnier ones added. So if you like what we talk about, definitely check it out, because I think it's a good laugh for sure.
All right, so the thing that got this kicked off was Michael Compton, and I keep reading that as Michelle Compton.
I get called Michael a lot, by the way.
Yeah, the OP kind of left a few different types of quirky gamer types, and I'll read a couple here, and then Michelle can read a couple, but... The collector brings 5 brand new games, just punched the tokens this afternoon and has no idea how to teach them. No video on YouTube either, because the pre-orders only landed yesterday. We played one anyway. Game night was fun, but lasted 2 hours too long again. The genius family gamer. Everyone knows they're the smartest in the group, so why the heck do they always want to play Rhino Hero Super Battle? Probably to conserve more brain power for inventing Cold Fusion or something.
Probably.
The abstract lover will put up with your orcs and wizards again as long as you promise for the 1,000th time that, yes, you will definitely try Hive soon. You assure them that it was an accident that you forgot to check it out again. And the final one there from the OP was the persistent wargamer. They know that they're here to play Clank, but they brought along a copy of 1649 Mughal, the Mughal's Safavid War, the 12th week of the Northeastern Theater, just in case. They assure everyone that this printing has really been streamlined. Last one that we never played either.
I feel like that could also be like this persistent Eurogamer. Like, you know, you're there to play Dungeon Crawler, but you brought just in case.
Yeah. Marco Polo too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got James Clark said the sensitive type feels deeply upset and personally betrayed when it's their ship you sink, their card you steal, etc. Sometimes precipitates a premature game ending, rarely forgives or forgets.
Ouch. Reggie Kobayashi, the puppy, doesn't understand the game well enough to play, but doesn't care and has fun anyway. Sometimes does weird things for attention. Annoying but lovable.
I like that one. Ozgdit, he just put a bunch of letters together. Mm-hmm. The Chaos Elemental. If they're losing, they'll at least make it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Steph Pierce had a couple. The Moocher, they just came for the food and the Wi-Fi. And the Butterfly, they flit from table to table, conversation to conversation, their phone, the food, the drinks, the bathroom, and are never at the table when it's their turn.
Never. Trail Magic talked about the strategist, aka cool, calm, collect, psycho, controlled, deliberate, and sees endless possibilities in any counter move you may throw at them. Calmly makes a move, waits for everyone to catch up on understanding the consequences of their devastating blow, then might smile.
Ogres, the accidental hustler, complains about their run during the game. They are convinced they will lose. Ends up winning by a huge margin.
I've done that.
Anyone who plays hobby board games has done that.
All right, I made one up. Did you make one up for yourself? I see you haven't written in the show notes.
Well, the two that I would do are here, so I'm gonna kind of just are at least on the thread, if not here. But,
okay, what are they?
So for me, definitely, I feel like the puppy one, that 100%. Like, it's, you know, I rarely understand a game or am good enough at a game to play well enough, but I don't really care because I'm just there for the social interaction and having fun, and I'll do weird things in the game that have nothing to do with winning, just to mess things up and probably get attention. So I am annoying but lovable. So I feel like the puppy is definitely me more than anything. And you know, the other one is the Chaos Elemental one, whereas, you know, I'm most often losing, so often I'll just be doing such wacky stuff that ends up messing up the game, but hey, it's going to be fun and interesting. So
I did come up with one for you.
Did you?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
You're the rules naysayer. You hate listening to rules and figure asking a bunch of questions throughout is the better approach. Your arch nemesis is the rules lawyer.
That's fair. 100%. That's better than, yeah. That's yep. How about you?
Yeah, so mine is the squirrel. I see anything shiny inside or outside of the game and I cannot resist. I have a hard time focusing on any task in hand. So I'm like, ooh, look at these bits. Ooh, did anyone see the, oh my gosh, look, it's dark outside. No focus.
Yep. That's fair.
Squirrel.
That's good. That's definitely you. I was thinking of, and I feel like there's something similar actually in one of the later pages, but like the comparer, always comparing this game to another one or this mechanic to another one, something like that. Because your knowledge base is so big, so you're always just, you have a big breadth of knowledge.
Or liking games, the Felder. Liking games just because they're designed by Feld.
The more Felder, the better.
Speaking of Feld, no.
Yeah. No?
No. I am excited for Feld's next up, but I've already talked about them. So let's talk about other things in our next up bit.
Next up.
I was like, I don't remember.
Right. We hit something. Don't we hit something? And say, yes.
I couldn't remember the next up part.
This is our next up bit, wherein we hype up the hype and discuss games we can't wait to fondle.
Woo-hoo!
I've changed mine from the thing because I don't remember about it. But...
You know what? I was going to put this one for you. Oh, when I made the show notes, I was just going to, the one that's in here, I was just going to put in for you.
Well, Michelle put two on hers now, so I guess I can have two on mine as well.
I have a reason.
Okay. Well, I initially had the Quacks of Quedlinburg Alchemist expansion that was announced, which I think is an Essen release that adds alchemy or something. And thank goodness, and I'm not going to get into it, but thank goodness, because they're so expensive, there are apparently no new bits for it. So that
thank goodness.
Spend another $50 or $60 or $80 or $100 on BGG bits for it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Have you played the first expansion? I assume so, yeah?
Yeah, it's mixed in the box. I enjoy it. I like the three different powers, one-time use power thingy, witches that you can do. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So the reason I have two is because my first one is Keeper at Sea. So Keeper is a game by Richard Bries, who designed Keyflower and many other key games. And I do enjoy Keeper. And apparently, this particular expansion has a solo mode designed by David Turksey, who's like famous for his solo modes. Yeah. And then it has, it just says two scenarios, shallow water for new players and deep water for seasoned experts. I actually pulled this off the shelf the other day, and for the first half, I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then the last half, I was like, yeah, I remember. I do quite like this game. So I'm excited by that. So I put that in here, and I was like, before the show started, I was like, oh, I should probably check. And then I saw it was supposed to be released in 2019, and I thought, oh, maybe it didn't happen. So then I went to BGG. It is still happening. They've indicated that it'll probably happen in 2020. However, I'd already picked another game to talk about. So that's why I have two. And once you put something on the show notes,
you gotta leave it, right? That's
why it's official.
Yeah, 100%.
No choice.
Yep.
So the other one I just want to quickly mention is what's it called? City of Crowns, which is the first expansion for Paladins of the West Kingdom, a game that I continue to enjoy and enjoy more every time I play it. I'm very happy to see an expansion. I am not happy to know that the expansion adds additional boards, because this game is already a massive table hog. And it says, this expansion adds new extensions for both the main board and player boards. Yes. So
in the box.
Yeah, the box is already pretty full.
It drives me nuts about those games. You can't fit. Same thing with Architects. You can't actually fit in the box.
I know.
Having expansion boxes.
I know. I hear you. It's on one hand, I do really appreciate the smaller boxes when everything fits, but there's a limit, you know, like within reason, people.
Shocked that they haven't released like big boxes or storage.
They have actually. Oh, yes. Really? The
I blame COVID for not knowing.
What's the big one? Raiders.
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, it's either just released or it's about to be released. But they did finally come out with a big box for that one. So, yeah, so there you go. Those are two things I am looking forward to.
I'll give my actual next up that I'm going to do, but it's a game that probably when this is being posted, actually maybe not, it might still be on, that's currently on Kickstarter, and that is the expansion to Endangered New Species, which, for those of you guys who don't know, Endangered is a cooperative game from Grand Gamers Guild, I think designed by Joe Hopkins, and has that really nice art from, I think, Josh Capel and Ben Flores. I think they do most of the art for Grand Gamers Guild games. Subscribed a really nice art. It's very much kind of in the vein of, you know, Pandemic, your typical co-op game. But what I really like about Endangered is the theme, right? It's a game where you're trying to conserve new species and you're trying to encourage new species, and has that very scientific flair without necessarily being preachy. I think it was Z Garcia's review where he talked about that typically games like this can be very preachy, the original. And in the original one, you have not pandas is the expansion, but you have
tigers
and otters. some sort of sea animal, which I think it's otters, are the two types of animals. So you have a land side to the board and then the water side to the board that you're trying to do, as well as you have five or six different characters that you can play. Type that have their own special abilities. So again, thinking of games like Pandemic, this adds tons of new species, shockingly, to it. And it's been a while since I've checked the Kickstarter, so I think things have just been added because I think it's done really well. But there are jaguars, there are tapirs, there are sea turtles, polar bears, elephants. So there's like five different types of animals, new types of animals that you're trying to conserve, as well as a new character, the celebrity. And so there's a lot of new content to this, which is really nice. And I adore the meeples in this. Oh my gosh, I love them so much. In the original one, it's got like the pandas, as well as a little small box expansion with it. I love the pandas, they're my favorite. But looking at this, there's also condors, two condor tokens. And they're really nice, and they're adorable, and they're screen printed, so they really kind of have that oomph. And honestly, if you're looking, yeah, just for the bits, I'm excited about this for the bits. And my daughter loves playing with it, just like telling stories with the different animals on the board. It's hilarious and very cute.
Oh, that's cute.
But yeah.
I have a next up for you. So, yeah. Because Board Game Bliss literally carries everything under the sun, just released. They have Dad Joke Face-Off, second edition. That's right, folks, second edition.
Oh, my God. Someone actually sent me this dad joke, like this dad joke game, I think, about it. So for those of you who don't know, I'm sure some of you bitsers, Michelle is also on my list. I have a list of a large number of people that I regularly send dad jokes to. I have multiple dad joke books.
And yes.
The lamer, the better. So I will peruse and send these dad jokes to people. And Michelle's lucky enough to find herself on my regular list of people.
Yes, who get blessed. I feel blessed, you know.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. And I actually feel that this is necessary because we at All the Bits love baseball. Adore baseball. Yeah. And the joke on the dad joke Face-Off second edition box happens to be about baseball. Sean, would you like me to tell you dad joke?
Yeah.
All right. Sean, tell me, why do witches make terrible baseball players?
Why, Michelle?
Their bats fly away.
Ha!
There you go. So you're supposed to. And then dad joke Face-Off. The point is to keep a very straight face, which I feel we both could have done that very well with this recent one that we threw out there. But yeah, there you go. So that's your next up.
Yep. You know what? I should have had that there. I apologize to everyone. I should have had that there.
Get it together. Get it together. Like, all right. Well, before we close out the show, we want to say thanks again to all of you, our amazing listeners, and of course, our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games, including Dad Joke Face-Off 2nd Edition, from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye. And I am going to go purchase Dad Joke Face-Off 2nd Edition.